We all know that temperate forages, cool season forages, have superior forage quality compared to the warm season counterparts. And in those areas that grow annual ryegrass, I think if we can stretch the grazing season out, that might be beneficial to our producers. We've also been told for many, many years that use of small grains provides earlier grazing and grown in mixtures with ryegrass. And we've seen data from small plot studies where there's early yield and all of that stuff. But if this is so, why then is it not used widespread? So there's some questions that need to be answered there. I don't know if you can see it clearly here, but in this picture on your left, this was the in the year of the actual study that we reported here. This is the mixed ryegrass pasture. Over here is ryegrass alone. If you see a flag sitting here, that's where I'm going to put my fence post eventually. And you can see it more clearly. This is this year's pastures. This was 6 weeks after we planted. This was 2 weeks after we planted. That's my post where that flag was. And you can see that the annual, the rye mixed with ryegrass is emerging much faster than just ryegrass alone. So why it's not being used widespread, some people are concerned that such mixtures may not have equal the high animal performance that we can get from annual ryegrass alone. Some people have observed that there might be suppression due to shading of the rye on annual ryegrass. And also the stubble left over from the stemmy ridge juice from the rye can also lead to lower pasture digestibility. I looked around for some data. This first set of data David Bransby shared with me, and I'm thankful for Dr. Bransby for that. Don't think it's published yet, but he sent me an email and said these were the numbers I got in 2006. And in this study, he showed that Marshall ryegrass had much superior daily gain to rye. Unfortunately, Dr. Bransby did not have a rye-ryegrass mixture in this study. In another set of data that I found from Arkansas, this is a three-year study, and they were grazing from late October to mid-March. They showed that rye-ryegrass mixture had better gain than ryegrass alone, and rye had intermediate gains. And in another Arkansas study, they showed that rye-ryegrass and ryegrass alone had similar gains for 3 years, and they said in the third year there was low forage availability due to drought conditions, yet the gains were similar on both pasture systems. So I think the questions that we need to ask to form a hypothesis for such a study would be, does ryegrass mixtures really extend the grazing season by providing earlier grazing? Is forage quality affected? And can close grazing of ryegrass pastures probably remove the possibility of suppression from stemmy residues or remove that canopy cover that leads to shading and suppression of ryegrass growth? So our objective was to quantify pasture and animal performance of ryegrass monoculture compared to ryegrass mixed pastures at varying levels of grazing pressure. We did this study this past cool season, and pastures were planted somewhat late for us, about a month late, because that's when they told me I have the money to go ahead and do the study. We had the two forest systems, and I tried to implement three grazing pressures. My target disc heights were 5, 10, 15 centimeters. I was not really able to get that because it got away from me. There was a lot of forage growth, and I didn't have enough animals to put as my put and take animals. But we did get a separation in the swards, which for the initial year of the study was good for me. We had two pasture sizes, either 1 acre or 2 acre pastures. On the 1 acre pastures, we had the high stocking rate and the low stocking rate. And on the 1 acre pastures, we had a high stocking rate. On the 2 acre pastures, we had the low stocking rate or the intermediate stocking rate or grazing pressures, the case may be. I used heifers in this study. There were two test animals that remained on each paddock throughout the study. To achieve the grazing pressures, or initially anyway, we had two animals on the high stocking rate and on the low stocking rate, because the low stocking rate pasture was double the size, remember? And we had three animals on the medium stocking rate or grazing pressure. I'm sorry, I'm getting those mixed up. We started grazing 30th of January. Probably should have started 3 or 4 weeks earlier, but I had to get my infrastructure and putting up fences and getting a new research technician to do all of that, and being out there myself, it was kind of tough. But we started grazing at the end of January, and we did that for 4 28-day periods. Measured herbage mass at the beginning before we put animals on, and then we continued doing that every 2 weeks. We took nutritive value samples. The first sample before putting the animals on were cut at 5 centimeters stubble height. Thereafter, we collected samples that were in cage exclusion areas, and we took the sample to simulate the grazing height of the pasture surrounding those cages, and we weighed animals every 28 days. We fitted mixed models to these responses, considered sampling period a repeated measure, made sure that there was no effect of initial gain, initial weight on average daily gain, and found that there wasn't, so covariate analysis was not necessary for my average daily gain responses, and we considered the responses different at the 5% level. It was a pretty dry year for us, as you all may well know. We got a lot of rain in October, but that was before I planted these pastures. Had sufficient rainfall in December, well, equal to the 70-year average, the 30-year average anyway, but after that, it got pretty dry. Maximum and minimum temperatures were, the high temperatures were somewhat higher in the spring months, and the low temperatures were somewhat lower. I don't know what effect that could have had on pasture growth, but it's kind of neat to note that. In terms of responses, the stocking rate response was on, due to forage system, was the same. It was not different. Average daily gain was higher on ryegrass alone. That was 0.3 pounds higher. Gain per hectare, even though those values appear different, it was not statistically different. Pre-grazed herbage mass was actually higher on ryegrass pastures compared to the rye-ryegrass mixture, and we are seeing that rye-ryegrass provides more herbage for earlier grazing. But statistically, it's higher, but I don't think that's 100 kilograms. It's not really a whole lot of more. Well, 200 kilograms is not really a whole lot of more herbage there. And then during the grazing season, after that initial pre-graze measurement, the ryegrass pasture had a trend towards higher herbage mass. In terms of the grazing pressure main effects, did I mention there were no interactions? Stocking rate, as we would expect, was highest on the high grazing pressure. Average daily gain was similar across grazing pressure, tells us that forage availability was not limiting. Gain per hectare, as we would expect, was highest on the high grazing pressure. Herbage mass at the beginning of the study was similar across grazing pressure, but then down in the bottom row there, you would see that herbage mass due to grazing pressure was different, which showed that we achieved our goal of having different herbage availability on those pastures by using the different grazing pressures. Average daily gain across 28-day periods, there were no interactions, there was a period effect, and there was a forage effect as we had seen earlier. I don't know what's the noise there with that February-March period. Essentially, that was March, because it was the end of February close to the end of March. That looks pretty close, but the statistics say that overall average daily gain was different and there was no interaction. So what we're seeing is there is a difference in average daily gain due to the forage system. Why is that so? It can be herbage mass because it's basically saying that we have sufficient herbage mass during the season. There was a period by grazing pressure interaction and herbage mass, and that's basically because at the beginning of grazing there was no separation on herbage mass on the pastures, but then later on we achieved that separation due to grazing pressure, as was shown data from the table. Look at our nutritive value. Root protein, this is from the samples taken at the beginning of the study, and this is from samples taken at the end of the first 28-day periods. You might want to ask the question, well, Mark, this is older than this. How come it has the same food protein? Shouldn't that be going down? Remember that when we took these samples, we had harvested those samples to 5 centimeters stubble height. When we took these samples, we were simulating the grazing height around the secluded, the excluded area that we took this. So we're taking sample here from a higher the upper portion of a canopy. And then crude protein declined through the season, but it declined more so in the ryegrass pastures. Digestibility followed a similar pattern. Neutral detergent fiber went, went the other way. I am not sure what's happening there. If you ask me, I don't know, but it's different. But in this case, the ryegrass pasture has lower neutral detergent fiber, therefore has supposedly better quality, but that did not show up in the crude protein or digestibility values, but it got more to where we would expect it to be as the season progressed. The NDF digestibility followed the same pattern as the overall herbage digestibility. So, in summary then, and I hope I was quick, we saw that annual ryegrass had greater average daily gain compared to rye annual ryegrass mixtures. Grazing pressure did not affect average daily gain, but gain per unit area was greater at higher stocking rates. It appears that forage nutritive value differences between the systems appear to play a major role in animal performance. And I know I started out talking about early grazing, but because of logistics, we were not able to start grazing based on the forage, the target forage characteristics and pastures this past year, but we are going to do so this year, hopefully. And the next year, we continue to do this study. Thank you very much. Dr. Nelson.
Was the maturity of the rye and the ryegrass about the same, or did they flower slightly differently to cause a difference in quality?
They were all planted on the same day.
What about the flowering?
Because the rye is earlier growing, it started flowering earlier. It might have, but even though rainfall was lower than would be typical for Mississippi conditions at that time of the year, I remember last year putting up a slide showing rainfall over a four-year period, and none of the dots matched the normal rainfall dots. So rainfall in central Mississippi it fluctuates quite a bit, and I don't think we had really terrible conditions, although the rainfall data would say we were dry. Thanks, Fern. So now I get to take over from Fern.